Good morning, everybody. That wasn't too bad. We're glad that you're with us today. As David already shared with you, I'm excited. I am juiced. I am pumped, right, as we are kicking off a brand new sermon series that we are calling I Am. Now, this series is motivated by some interesting things that Jesus, he said about himself in the book of John when he declared, I am. Now, I am statements are used to describe how you feel or who you are, right? Now, I'll kind of start this off with a quick story that happened to me not too long ago. My family and I had decided, actually, Tina, my wife, my beautiful bride, my beautiful daughter, and I decided to go out to eat a real nice restaurant. We dressed up really, really nice. I mean, it's one of our favorite places. It's called Taco Bell. And so, any Taco Bell fans, come on. Like three of you, right? Okay, yeah, you're a fan before, then after, you're not so much, right? That's how that works with my family, all right? So anyway, we were there, and this is a true story. Okay, so I'd ordered our meal, not sure what I'd ordered, and, you know, I'd got the sodas, the drinks, whatever, and they called my name, so I went over, I set the sodas up on the tray, and I pick up the tray, and I turn around, and I go to take my meal to my beautiful family. And so as I'm walking, there's a gentleman who's behind me. Apparently, he's going to make an order. I'm not for sure. And he did a typical, which happens a lot in Missouri, just typical, you know, head nod, like, howdy, how you doing? And that's kind of a normal thing, right? And so I thought I should, you know, nod back. That's the nice thing to do. So I looked over at the guy, and he may be 5 feet from me. He's walking toward me. I'm like, and so I nod. Now, this is a true story. This might even be a miracle that happened, okay? A true story. So as I nodded, okay, true story, I've got my sodas, my nose perfectly, I'm talking perfectly proportioned with the straw, okay? My nose goes right into the straw, okay? So I'm holding right here with my meal. The guy's kind of looking at me kind of weird, right? And he's like, what are you going to do, right? I'm nodding. And so I do what any normal person would do in that situation, right? You think, well, if I pull the nose out, right, then the straw will stay, right? So I did the whole pull it out. And guess what, church? My nose had a firm grasp upon the straw. Okay, and so I pulled the straw out with my nose, and now I'm standing looking at him, and he stops by now. He's just staring at me like, well, this is better than TV, right? He's like, this is better than cable, right? And so I'm standing there now with my meal and my straw hanging on my nose, not knowing what to do, and he's kind of like, I don't know if I should help this guy. So again, I look at him, I'm like, I got to do something. So I start shaking my straw like this, right, thinking that's going to work, right? Does not work. The guy literally looked at me. I think he had compassion for me until I started shaking my head. I thought he's like, this dude's got some serious issues, right? He did the whole whoa, right, kind of walking around. So I'm literally, and by the way, every time I go into Taco Bell, there's like seven or eight people. It was packed on that day, just letting you know, okay? True story, right? So I walk around, I'm doing this kind of with my nose, right? I'm walking around, and my wife's looking at me, and people are starting to point, and Hannah runs over to me. I help me help, and she kind of pulls out the nose, and I sit down. I was completely embarrassed, right? And this led to many I am statements around our table, okay? Like statements I was making was, I am so stupid, right? I'm an idiot, right? My beautiful daughter said, Dad, I am so sad I did not get that on video, right? And my beautiful bride was like, I am so embarrassed. I think the last thing she said was, and I am getting a divorce, right? I think that was kind of the last thing that she said there, right? Now, the Bible, Jesus never got his nose stuck in a straw, right? But the Bible does give us some insight into Jesus' life on how he felt about various situations and ultimately who he was. See, we're going to find in the book of John that Jesus said some pretty crazy, out-of-the-box, wild, nutso things. He says stuff like this. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. What does that mean? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. What's that all about? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, right? And there are more I ams that are found throughout the book of John. So for this series, we're going to journey together, right? We're going to journey together as a church family, and we're going to do our best, right, to open up the Word and break down these I am statements and try to understand what Jesus meant about himself when he said these crazy, off-the-wall, out-of-the-box things. So over the next 7 weeks, we're going to put the spotlight on Jesus, all right? We're going to ask him to pull up a chair. Literally, ask Jesus to pull up a chair, right? And we're going to give you a chance to get to know Jesus like never before. Maybe you have never even heard of Jesus. I'm so glad you are here. I'm excited that you're going to join us. Maybe you have like been raised. Guess what? I believe Jesus is going to show us more about himself. No matter where you're at in your walk, you might not even believe in Jesus. That's okay. You're welcome to journey with us this morning. As we're going to dive into these I am statements and let Jesus himself, these are going to be in red. When we open, these are his exact words. This is what Jesus said in red. Really, Jesus himself describe to us who he is in his own words. All right? So y'all ready? Like three of you are. Okay. I said, so y'all ready? All right. So the first I am statement that we're going to tackle this morning is a statement that Jesus made right before he did one of the greatest miracles recorded in the Bible. As a matter of fact, if there is a miracle hall of fame, this miracle would be in the miracle hall of fame, right? What we're going to talk about this morning is what Jesus said, and he declared this right before his greatest miracle. He said this, I am the resurrection and the life. Anybody ever heard that statement before? Anybody heard that? Yeah, some of you guys have, right? And my key thought is this, just let this soak in, right? My key thought is this. The resurrection is not only what Jesus did, it's who he is. Say that again. The resurrection is not only what Jesus did, it's who he is. So, we're going to go ahead and quickly dive into the text. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, we're going to put the words up here for you. You can follow along. We also have Bibles on your table. If you don't have a Bible, take that Bible home. That's a gift to us from you. It is on page 523 on your Bible, on your table. As we're going to try to figure out what Jesus meant by this I am statement. Now, this is a very long story, okay? So I'm going to try to break this down for you before we dive into the entire text. So track with me as I try to set this story up, all right? So follow along, track with me this morning. Okay, so in this story, again, before we read, let me tell you what's going on. In this story, we find that Jesus and his disciples, man, they're out preaching and teaching, okay? When all of a sudden, a messenger, a dude, comes running up to Jesus, and he says this. He says, Jesus, the one you love, a friend of yours is very, very sick, and we think he might. He might die. Now, this person that was sick, his name was Lazarus. And he had two sisters whose names were Mary and Martha. And this family was very close to Jesus. As you read the Bible, you're going to see an interaction with him and Lazarus and Mary and Martha in other chapters, all right? But you might even say that Jesus loved this family. He loved Lazarus, Mary, and Martha almost like it was his own family. Now, Jesus was about a day's walk away from where Lazarus was, but instead of going right to Jesus, this family, Jesus decides to chill. He decides to stay two more days where he was with his disciples, which sets the story up for one of the greatest miracles ever recorded in the Bible. So we're going to pick up here as Jesus has now walked back with his disciples. It's been 2 days since he's got the message. He's now walking back with his disciples. And we're going to check up on Lazarus and his sisters, right? And dive into the scripture and let's see what happens. We're in John 11, 20 through 45. I'm going to read fast. Hang on, buckle up. We're going to skip around a little bit. We got a lot to read. Let's read together John 11, 20 through 45. So when Martha, one of the sisters, heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. What's up, Jesus? If you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give it to you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Skip to verse 25. And you can go back and read that. It's good reading, but for time's sake, skip to 25. Jesus said to her, there's our statement. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who is coming into the world. Our story continues. Skip down to verse 32. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. This is the other sister, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. We're going to wrap up, skip to verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor. The King James Version, those of you who know the King James Version, it says this, by this time he stinketh, right? By tracking with me? I love that, right? God, this time he stinks, right? He stinketh, right? For he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. This is crazy. Took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said this, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on the account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Wow. The man who had died came out. His hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he had did, believed in him. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And just quickly recap, right? Jesus is hanging out with his disciples. A young man comes running up to him. It's a messenger. Says, hey, the guy you love, man, he's like part of your family. He's sick and he's dying. Jesus is like, we'll chill here for 2 more days. Okay, we'll just chill for 2 more days. Jesus stays 2 more days. He goes back, another day walk. The sisters of Lazarus, they come running to Jesus. Like, if you'd only been here. Like, where were you, Jesus? Like, if you'd only been here, man, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And I love Jesus' response here. As the Bible says that Jesus wept. He was moved by emotion. He cared, right? And then the cool part, Jesus walks up and he's like, remove the stone, right? And like, I don't think so. He stinks, right? He stinks. He's like, no, right? And he prays this crazy prayer, right? And he calls it Lazarus. I love that. But Lazarus, I don't know if he did that or not, right? But Lazarus, come forth, right? And in the dark, as the crowd gather around, right? Like, this dude's crazy. What's this Jesus? Like, we've never seen this. All the crowd gather around. They look and they pull back the tomb and it's dark. And Jesus said, this is for your glory. And he calls out. All of a sudden, man, out of this tomb, right? Out of this darkness, walks Lazarus. As Jesus performs one of the most amazing miracles in the history of the world, right? Now, the thing that I think is crazy about this story, right? Is right before, right, he does this miracle, right? Is he says, I am the resurrection and life. Right? Let's say that together. Someone was doing that with. Let's try that again. 1, 2, 3. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said this, right? Right before he did this miracle. Now, we all know that Jesus himself died and rose again. Right? If you were raised in church, if you've gone to church on Easter or Christmas, this is like, duh, right? Jesus the resurrected. We know this, right? We all know that's something that he did, right? That he resurrected from the dead. But track with me this morning. But at this time, he hadn't done that yet. He hadn't done that yet. He hadn't resurrected from the dead, right? That happens later. So what in the world does Jesus mean by saying, I am the resurrection and the life, when he hasn't died and he hasn't resurrected yet? I mean, what in the world, Jesus, is this statement all about? Yeah, that's what you're going to do, but you said that I am the resurrection and life? Well, I believe that Jesus was showing us his true character and nature. Now listen to me. That he not only provided resurrection power and life for us when he died on the cross. He not only did that. Listen. But he wants and he has resurrection power in our lives today. Right now. Okay? Now, I'm not going to get too super spiritual crazy on you. Okay? I'm not going to do that, though I am crazy. Right? But Let me break this down. Some of you are like, what do you mean? Like, we're going to raise people from the dead? What are you talking about, Joe? Well, let me show you what I mean, okay? See, I believe that the first thing I believe here is that Jesus wants to and he can resurrect and bring life to your discouragement. Gosh, man, somebody needs to hear this today. Jesus can, and I believe he wants, to resurrect and bring life to your discouragement. Check out what Martha said. Man, I can so relate to this. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, man, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. I even know that whatever you ask from God, God, you will give it to you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Mary, the sister, basically says the same thing when she says Jesus, when she sees Jesus, right? You can just hear the discouragement, can you not? Can you just hear the discouragement in the sisters' voices, right? They were like, where were you, Jesus? Like, you're supposed to be the Son of God. You're supposed to love us, right? Where were you? Why weren't you here? Jesus, you could have fixed this, right? Has anybody ever been there? Come on. Anybody ever been frustrated and discouraged with life and wondered where the heck is Jesus? Kind of like, where's Waldo, right? Yeah, maybe not quite like it, but where's he at? I'm looking around, right? Where's he at? Man, I have. Okay, we're just gonna be real. Man, I've been there. But Jesus does something interesting. As he turns to her to comfort her, and he says these words. He looks at her and he says, your brother will rise again. Jesus is like, now track with me. This is the JIV version, the Joe International version, okay? But here's what I believe Jesus was saying. Jesus is like, I am here. I've got a plan. I know it's tough. I know it's difficult. I know you don't have it figured out yet, right? But if you will trust me, I will bring life. I can bring life to your discouragement. Now, I don't know what's going on in your life. I have no idea. But I want to tell you that Jesus wants to comfort you today. That's in his nature. That's who that he is. And just like Jesus used words to encourage Martha and Mary, he used words to encourage them, he uses his word today to encourage us. Can I get an amen on that one? Yeah. Check this out, man. I'm telling you, people, there's somebody in this room that needs to hear these words. Man, these are just for you today. As I'm just going to read some words out of the Bible, right? These are from God. And I believe somebody needs to hear these words today. Isaiah 41:10 says this, and this is for you, whoever you are today. You're going through a difficult time. You're going through a struggle. You have no idea where Jesus is at, right? But I believe that these words are for you, right? Isaiah 41 says, fear not. I love that. Fear not. Come on. For fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Matthew 11 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Joshua 1:9. Man, I love this. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God, he is with you wherever you go. Listen, track with me. Jesus cares about what you're going through. Jesus cares and he loves you. He's not abandoned you. He's not ran off. He's got a plan. And I believe he wants to give you peace and guide you through what you're going through right now. I love verse 38, and I'll be honest with you. I think this is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. I do. Because it shows Jesus' true heart and character. This might even be a bigger miracle than the resurrection. I love it. I think another reason why I loved it, it was the only verse in the Bible I could memorize. Verse 35 says this, Jesus wept, right? Jesus wept. Jesus cares. I'm telling you, he cares. He cares. You might be where Mary and Martha were right now, right? In a certain situation, you might be discouraged, but Jesus is with you and he wants to bring power and resurrection and life to your discouragement. You see, the resurrection is not only what Jesus did, it's what he's doing, right? It's who he is. Y'all with me? Y'all tracking with me this morning? Am I losing you? All right. What's the second thing quickly we can learn? Number two, Jesus can resurrect and bring life to impossible situations. Jesus can resurrect and bring life to impossible situations. Check out verse 38. when Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb, it was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, sister of the dead man, said to him, can't do that, Lord, he stinketh, right? Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, right, you would see the glory of God? You see, I believe Jesus is trying to set up a miracle, right? And Martha's like, Lord, he's dead, right? It's too late for you, Jesus. Like, you're too late. He's dead, right? It's not going to happen. He's not only dead, this is what I believe Martha was saying, he's not only dead, but he's dead, right? He's been dead for 4 days. You see, Lazarus' body had been laying there for some time. Do you remember that I told you that Jesus waited a few days, right? He waited a few days. Well, man, I believe that he was setting this up. I believe he did that on purpose. So no one would question, right, that he was the true Son of God. Someone would question this miracle so that he could do the impossible. And here's what I know. Here's what I know. Right now, some of you are going, right, through or might be in what you might call an impossible situation. You might be. It could be a divorce. It could be something financial. It could be your marriage. It could be family issues. As a matter of fact, you might say that your situation is dead and it even stinks. Well, I want to remind you that nothing, I mean nothing is too big for Jesus. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too big for Jesus. With Christ, we always have hope. Amen? We always have hope. Does he always change the situation? No, right? And that's for another message. But he can do the impossible. Yes, miracles are Christ's specialty. Matthew 19 says this, but Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God what? But with God what? One more time, and everybody, with God what? All things are possible. Years ago, a good friend of mine, his name was Quentin Maxwell, went to college with him. He was in a horrible car accident. Horrible car accident. He was in the hospital in Springfield, and I just found out about it, and the word that I had received was he's going to die. He's not going to make it. He's got head trauma. I mean, they're not giving him any chance. He's going to die in the next 24 hours. Joe, let's get up here and be with the family. So I drive up to the hospital. And again, this was a long time ago, and I just remember he was, I think, in the IC unit or whatever he would be in, and there was a little button that you could push, and there was an intercom, and I could talk to whoever was there. And I'm not making this up. So I go to the button, and I push it, and they said, who are you? And I'm like, I'm Joe. I'm here to see Quentin Maxwell. I'm a pastor. I really would like to pray for him. I'm not joking you. I'm not making this up. I've told this story before on stage. The voice on the other end said, I'm not kidding you, who do you pray to? Seriously. That person probably got fired by, that was years ago. I have no idea. True story. So who do you pray for? And I was completely taken off. I was like, God, Jesus. You know, I'm like completely like, okay, come on in. So I come in, and there was a gentleman there, and he's like, he's right over there. And so I go over, and I'm just praying for Quentin. And the gentleman comes over to me and he says, I just want you to know, I don't know who this guy is, I don't know his name. He said, I'm the one that let you in. I want you to know what you're doing right now is the greatest thing that he could receive. He said, I can't tell you how many times, numerous times, I've had people come in and pray in the name of Jesus and see miracles. I'm telling you, that's why I let you in here, right? I didn't ask the guy's name. I didn't know. But he had recognized, right? He had recognized through his career and his job that there is power, right, in the name of Jesus. So here's the deal. We thought he was going to die. 6 weeks later, Quentin walked out and is alive today, has three beautiful children, has a career, right? I'm here to tell you guys that God is still in the miracle working business, right? No matter how difficult, no matter how stinky, no matter how dead your situation is, all things are possible with Christ. The resurrection is not only what Jesus did, it's who he is. And it's possible that he can bring resurrection power and life to your impossible situation. Whatever, you're like, are you kidding me? Like, God, there's this divorce, there's this family issue, there's this financial situation. God, I don't even know, right? Guess what? There's always hope in Christ. And the last thing, finally, I'll wrap up. Jesus can resurrect and bring life to your soul. I'm going to say that again, and that'd be really cool if you said amen, because this is my best point. Doesn't get any better than this. It's the top. This is the pinnacle. We're going down from here. Jesus can resurrect and bring life to our soul. Amen. It says this in 45. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he had did, they believed in him. Right? And again, this is probably the most important point that I'm going to make today. In our story, people believed in Jesus. A crowd gathered around. They believe in Jesus because of a great miracle that they saw. Right? That's what they believe. Right? Now it's not the miracle of Lazarus that makes us believe in Jesus. That's a real cool story. Right? That's cool. I like that story, Jesus, right? But it's the miracle of the cross, right, that draws us to believe in Jesus. Ephesians 2, 1 through 9 says this. It's on page 567 on the Bible on your table. It says this. I'm going to pause in between some of these verses and just break this down. I'm going to shut up, okay? 567 says this. It says, in talking to you, point at someone across your table and says, talking to you. Like three of you did that, so that probably wasn't a very good thing to do. Here we go. Ephesians says this, and you, actually point at you. This is talking to me. That would have been better. Not you, me. It's talking to us, me. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You see, we were born separated from God because of sin. We all were. I'm no better than anybody else. We all were born separated from God because of sin. The Bible says we were born dead in our trespasses of sin, that basically there's something that our life is missing. There just is. There's just something. If we don't have Christ, there's just like something missing. We try to fill it with it, but there's something missing. It's something that sin will never, ever fill. You can keep trying to fill it with all kinds of stuff, but it will never give you that peace. The only thing that can bring life to your soul is Jesus. The only thing that can bring life to your soul is Jesus. Verse 4 says this, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show us immeasuring riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Oh man, God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to pay for our sins. It's crazy. You see, it's not about, it's not about being good enough or going to church enough or memorizing your Bible enough or being dressed up enough, right, or waiting until you're a better person. God loves you right where you are at, right where you're at, man. Doesn't matter what's going on. A lot of people are like, man, I just got to get better before I can come to Jesus. Okay? No. He loves you right where you're at. You're messing everything. He loves you right where you're at. God loves you right where you're at. And Jesus' sacrifice alone, that's it. If you'll accept it, it pays for all your sins, past, current, and future. Jesus paid for it all one time, once and for all, when he bled and he died on the cross. Anybody believe that? Yeah. Finally, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not by your own works. We try so hard to work our way and be good. And as long as I'm good, God will love me. Man, it's not about that. It's about Jesus, right? It's the gift of God, not the results of our work, so that nobody can boast. You see, Jesus died on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. Then 3 days later, he arose from the grave, proving that he was the true Son of God. And this is the miracle that draws us to him today. And we can have peace in our heart, new life in our soul, if we simply have faith, right? And believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again for us. You see, Jesus takes dead things and he gives them life. The resurrection is not only what Jesus did, it's who he is. And it's what he wants to do in your life today. I want to wrap up with my visual. All right. I want to show you what I'm talking about. 6 years ago, I did a hiking trip to India, okay? Myself and three other buddies, and we were hiking into unreached people areas and just handing out Bibles. I mean, we weren't pushing the gospel on people. We just wanted to love people right where they're at. Man, that is just my heart. I'm an encourager, and I just want to be like, man, Jesus loves you right now, right? Just loves you where you're at, right? And so we were in India, and we were in some crazy, wild places in the Himalayas. I'll just let you know, okay? We were sleeping on floors outside in hammock. It was nuts, okay? And we had one thing with us that if we didn't have it, we'd have probably died. I'm going to be honest with you. It brought us life, okay? It is a water filter system. Okay, anybody ever seen any of these or how these work, right? What we would do is we knew as long as we had this with us, we knew as long as we had our water filter system, we would have life. Does that make sense? We could go anywhere. I mean, literally, we walked into one area and this tribe brought us black water. I'm like, oh my gosh, am I going to die, right? So we poured it. We were fine, right? As long as we had the filter, we were fine. Well, this morning, church, I have brought you not black water, but I have brought you some pond water. Does anybody see that in this place, right? That is disgusting, and that is dead. Okay, we're just going to call that dead, right? That is dirty, that is dead, that is disgusting. There is no hope for this water, right? I would not drink this water. You would not drink this water. It would probably make you sick. But here's what Jesus does, right? Here's what God does. I poured some of that in this. I'm going to use my water filter system. You can see that it is yellow. I've got my water filter system. I'm going to pour it in here. This is what Jesus does, okay? This is pond water. This is the same water that came out of that, okay? Pour that in here. We put the filter on, right? This is what Jesus does, man. He takes dead, dirty things, right? And he makes them alive. Oop. It's taking a lot longer than I thought it would. Before Jesus, after. You see the difference? Watch this. Same water. It was awful. No, I'm just kidding. No, just kidding. That was great, actually. That was really, really good. As long as we have Jesus, no matter what kind of crap you're going through in your life, are you tracking with me? No matter how difficult, no matter how much life sucks, no matter what is coming your way, Christ gives us life. Amen? And this morning, I believe that Christ wants to resurrect and bring life to your situation. I'm asking the praise team to come up quickly. Oh, yes, come on up. We're going to go a little long, but that's because you guys prayed for me. It's your fault, okay? Come on up, guys. I'm going to ask our praise team to sing one last song. I'm going to ask them to do that. I want you to, can we bring down the lights in the back? I don't know what you're going through. I have no idea. But Jesus is the answer. And I believe that he wants to resurrect. He wants to bring life to your situation. I believe he wants to breathe on you right where you're at. The song that I've asked the praise team to sing, they sell me out of your way, right? Ask them to sing. It was a song that says, "We cry out to dry bones, come alive, come alive." And so this morning, whatever is going on in your life, you can just cry out to God right where you're at. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to make you feel weird. This is just your space. This is your time to say, "God, I feel like Mary right now. Where are you?" So I cry out to you, and I say, "Lord, give me life." Maybe you have never accepted Christ in your life before, and there's something in your heart going, "This is so right. I don't even know what I'm doing." That's okay. Most of us don't, right? It's just simply saying, "I believe in the cross. I want to accept Christ as my Savior." And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you guys to stand. Would you stand up in this place? Would you stand up in this place today? Will you do that right where you're at? I'm going to ask some of my leaders, if they would please go to the back doors. Would they just please do that? And if you need prayer, you can go to any of those leaders. They would love to pray with you about anything that's going on in your life. No questions asked. Or you can stay right where you're at. But let's just let God minister to our hearts. And as we get to that chorus, "We cry out to dry bones, come alive." Let's just be real with God and let him bring us life.